gives me faith. I'm gonna make it after all.
Oh, you believe that tonight? Let's give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the promise. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you.
Glory to God. It's good to be a believer, isn't it, tonight? Living in a hopeless world, yet we've got a hope. Amen. Living in a depressed society, but we got joy. Isn't that right? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's good to have Brother Alexander with us here tonight. Speaking of Brother Alexander, and been talking with him and Brother Stephen. As you know, I haven't. This is the only service I've taken off in March. Didn't take any in February. And that was planning, and I was trying to get a hold of Stephen because I don't know if you know this now, he's a working man again, so have to work around his schedule a little bit. But I was thinking of having Brother Alexander and Brother Stephen in April, and after I prayed about it a little bit and talked to them and said, well, let's just make a weekend out of it. So I was going to have Brother Alexander preach Wednesday and Stephen Sunday, and I'm like, well, let's just do a Thursday and Friday, one of each. So I made a little flyer real quick, but this is the weekend of the 11th through the 15th. So you got 5 weeks here, so that's not too bad. I'm letting you know. Normally, I'd tell you about 3 days before I got here, and you'd have to read it, and I'd forget about it again. It's partly my fault. I understand that. I'll say it like this. Honestly, when I come to the pulpit, it's because I'm thinking about preaching. I'm just going to tell you that. So this stuff, I mean, I try to get to. I just kind of forget. I'm sorry. So, I'll post this out there, and it's got all the times and things. But that's really what it came down to. And you know, I appreciate Brother Alexander. I appreciate Brother Stephen, and they might be kind of hometown folk around here, but they're the best evangelists I know on the field right now. And I praise the Lord for that. I ain't trying to look at he's getting. I didn't mean to do that, Brother Alex. He knows, but I'm saying if there's any man that I've got confidence in, that know how to take the word and preach it without pretense and just give the word out. Don't worry about who's out there. I appreciate the brothers that God has called. So. There's that, and I hope I didn't catch you off guard. I mean, we got communion this month. That's the one thing, and then we've got that in April, and then we've got our May meetings. And then it's, praise the Lord for summer, at least for me. Sorry, y'all. But, yeah, thank you, brother. But I tell you, I'm grateful for summer. It helps me to recharge, and I think you all understand that. So, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house, Lord. How many anticipates hearing from God tonight? How many appreciates our brother Alexander? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love Brother Alexander. Let's just sing. Let's just do It's By Faith tonight. Let's just sing as Brother Alexander comes up. It's by faith, give him praise, that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. By faith, I'll overcome. It's by faith, I'll see the sun. Oh, yes, Lord. It's by faith that I believe.
I forgot to say something to you. I'm planning a trip maybe to India. Certainly thankful for the faith which has been delivered to the saints tonight, and I believe that's why we're standing in the power of the resurrection this evening. We're kind of privileged to be with you all tonight. God bless you. I feel rather humbled by what Brother Andrew said. I can't remember if it was Daniel Boone and David Crockett said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. So I don't brag about it. But anyway, so, but I do feel very privileged to be here with you all. And we just kind of privilege to be a Christian. As a reminder, Daylight Savings Time this weekend. Now you don't have an excuse to show up late to church. Got y'all. And my job is done. I was talking to Brother Andrew. He was talking about traveling and stuff here. Brother James was talking about a minute ago. I forgot to mention the back room, but I've been asked here recently. I've been praying about it. I'm looking maybe to travel to India again here, either sometime near the end of April or beginning of May. So just cover your prayers for that as well. And we just desire to be found faithful unto God, whatever He has to do. There's so many needs, not just abroad, but even here. Amen. But there's a billion people in India. And I tell you what, I'm looking for that last one because I want to go home too. If you have your Bibles this evening, we look to the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Got my son's attention with that one. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and we'll look in the 8th verse. And something the Lord's kind of really just laid on my heart recently, and it's been a blessing to me personally, and I pray it would be the same for you. Well, Steve, buddy, good to see you. Good to see you all. I'm not playing favorites now. But good to see you, man, your family. God bless you all. All of you could be here tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we'll start in the 8th verse and read to the 10th verse. And I even appreciate that opening song we had, Brother James. Fill my cup, Lord, the woman at the well looking for things. Amen. I tell you what, that's where the world's at today. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 says, They read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave them sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tishathra, which is the governor, it's a Persian governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now that's interesting. I mean, they heard the word and they begin to weep, but they say, weep not. Is that right? Verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can I get an amen tonight? Amen. Can I get a witness? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer this evening. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we count it all joy, Lord, to be Christians tonight. And even when we fall into diverse temptations, Lord, we know that it's working out a far exceeding greater reward for us in glory. And Father, we just ask now that you'd come and minister, Lord, to hearts that are downcast and to that are disquieted and to those in need tonight, Father, and their hearts and their lives and in their homes. I pray you'd come and just speak by the scripture. May you take these lips of clay, I pray, and give an utterance by the Holy Ghost. Father, may you be glorified in the midst of thy people here tonight, Lord. For we are looking for you to come and speak as only you can do tonight by the Holy Ghost and fire, Lord. And we'd be careful tonight and all that is said and done when you answer prayer, when you meet the need of your people. We'll be careful tonight to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, for it is your workmanship. We are your workmanship tonight, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Lord. And we just give you praise and glory for it now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church said, amen. God bless you as you're seated tonight. I'd like to take a thought, just maybe a simple thought, a profound thought, I think. But I had no idea how to really title this, so I just took something real generic. I need to ask Brother Andrew to come up with my titles for me because he's got like a thing. He's got like this awesome title-making gizmo or something. So I just call it Strength and Joy tonight. I find as a minister, you know, sometimes as a minister, you're compelled by the Holy Spirit to minister in a certain way. And I thank God for His leadership. I thank God for His inspiration. But, you know, sometimes when the people are sitting there and they listen to somebody, kind of like here in the scripture we read, sometimes they may misunderstand what's in the heart of that minister when he begins to speak. And, you know, I've ministered from this Word of God for, I guess, maybe 8 years now it is. And at times it's caused people to get upset with me. You know, a certain person will think I'm saying something about them or I had some sort of an ill intent, but I'd like to testify as the Apostle Paul that everything I've done with a conscious void of offense before men. That's never been my purpose. Amen. Sometimes we as people misunderstand one another. And that's why the prophet says to give each other the benefit of the doubt, because sometimes we'll do something and somebody will misunderstand our meaning. Amen. I've never been out to hurt somebody. Is that right? I may say something to my own children at times and it might upset them and it might challenge them. And when they were really little, they used to think Daddy didn't love them anymore. But that wasn't what it was. It's because Daddy did love him. That's why he said it. Amen. And they might have doubted that, but I've always tried to be honest with them because I care about them as a father cares about his son. And if you being evil, if I being evil know how to treat our children that way, how much more is God going to treat us that way tonight? Amen. I don't look at God as some sort of a dictator or some sort of a tyrant. Amen. God loves me. That's why he speaks to me. He's not looking to take away my joy. He's not looking to make me feel defeated. He's looking to give me victory and joy and purpose and peace. Amen. And sometimes we despise the chastening of the Lord. Amen. We mistake his wrath. Amen. We mistake his love for for wrath. Amen. And this has never been God's purpose. God's purpose is far from our destruction, but it's for our deliverance. Amen. For our help tonight. Amen. I look at the words of the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and he said he'd not come to the Corinthian church immediately to spare the church. He says it this way, not that we would have dominion over faith, but be helpers of your joy. And I know some ministers, they're helpers of your misery. Amen. They're helpers if you're being beat up all the time. They're helpers if you're being defeated. They're helpers if you're being under tribute to a man. Amen. But Paul said, we want to be a helper of your joy. And that's been my desire. I believe that's the desire of any true minister of a Christian. Amen. Is to be a helper of somebody's joy. Amen. We read in this book of Nehemiah tonight. I believe it's a beautiful illustration of the same thing. Amen. Nehemiah and Ezra had gathered the people together and they begin to read from this Bible that had been collecting dust. Amen. And they hadn't heard the word of the Lord for years. Is that right? Like they we're going to hear it here. And they want to give an understanding to the people about what the word of the Lord said and to hear it. And when they begin to hear it, they become sad and they begin to weep. Is that right? And I love their response. They say, don't do that. I mean, don't do that. Amen. Look, this is not a time to be sad. Amen. This is a holy day unto the Lord. This is a day to rejoice and be glad. Amen. God has restored our home. God's restored some of your homes. Amen. God has brought us from captivity. God has given us rest from our enemies. God has given us healing and deliverance. He's restored the word of this covenant to us. This is not a time to be defeated. This is not a time to be sad. You've misunderstood the purpose of God. God doesn't want you to be downcast. Amen. He desires not to point out your past faults, your past failures. He desires for you to see that he brought you through it. All right, I'm going to preach tonight. Amen. He wants you to know that what he has done for you. Amen. It's not about what you did. It's not about what you went through. It's what he has done, what he has brought you through. Salvation is of the Lord from the beginning to the end. Amen. It never was about what you did. Listen, many times we read this Bible like the people of Israel, amen? We misunderstand the desire of God in our lives. I want you to understand, when we hear this word, we must know who we are. We must know our position, amen? Because if you don't know who you are relative to God, this is going to disappoint you, amen? Listen, you can hear about the judgment of God and his holy wrath and his justice. And if you were to take his character like that in isolation and look at it, it would be a great source of fear to you and I. To know the wrath and the severity of God's judgment, amen? It would be a sense of dread, amen? To know that you and I, we deserve punishment. We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve torment. And God would be totally justified in destroying every one of us, amen? Now, we could read the Bible and see that, amen? But listen, God is not just, he is also the justifier of them that believe in Christ Jesus. Is that right? And when you understand the character of God in relationship to you, yes, God is just. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God can't lie. And he said, I've spared you. I've forgiven you. It's like you never did it in the first place. That has a whole different meaning to you. It's no longer something for you to dread. It's no longer something for you to fear. It's something to rejoice about. The very one that can justify has justified you. Who is he that condemneth? It's not the pastor. It's not the deacon. It's not the prophet. It's God that condemneth, and he's the one that justified you. Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, my, I tell you what, realizing he has justified you, it should inspire joy. Amen. My, praise the Lord. He has justified us. And the very justice of God that should cause you to fear is the reason you can rejoice, because he is just. If he has justified you, he can't change his mind about you. Amen. If you get nothing else from this tonight, I want you to say God loves you, and God's love for you is like the northern star. It's fixed, amen? You can never do anything to take away from it. You can never do anything to add to it, amen? Let me say this tonight, when you look at the holiness of God and his righteousness, a God so holy that angels cannot look upon his face, but in reverence and humility they must cover their feet and face before the presence of Almighty God. They never did sin. They never did disobey. like us. Phil, come on, somebody. Amen. They stand before him, and they must, because they must avert their faces and their very eyes. Amen. And his shape facing is before the most holy. Amen. My, my. And then you look upon the wickedness and the deceitfulness of the human condition. Then know that you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and to see that them angels can't even look upon the face of God, to look at the character of God like that would cause you to dread. But then you realize a provision was made for you, that we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Is that right? You are somebody to God. You're more than an angel. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. You've got something greater than the angels have got tonight. All right, somebody, you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that cleanses you from all sin, the Bible says. Listen, you've not just been forgiven. You've not just been justified. He's made you his own righteousness. Now, I want you to think about that for tonight for just a second. Amen. All things that are created, all these angels and all these things, righteousness is reckoned to them by the measure of their obedience or the disobedience. Amen. These angels have their righteousness reckoned because of the obedience that they've had to God. But you've not been reckoned righteousness based on your performance. You've inherited it because you are a son. You are a daughter. Amen. You've not just inherited righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Your righteousness never did begin because his never began. And if it cannot begin and it cannot end, your righteousness can never end. Well, hallelujah, amen. Now to know that he's righteous is one thing, but to know that you have his righteousness, that you are his righteousness, it doesn't give me dread. It doesn't cause me to despair. That gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh my. It was imputed to you. His righteousness. Look, God don't wake up and have bad days like us. Amen. His righteousness does not wax and wane. It does not fluctuate. It's fixed. Is that right? And you are that righteousness. It does not grow. It does not diminish. That ought to be a source of joy to you as a believer tonight. If you've ever caught a revelation that you've been justified, that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Listen, that's Paul's whole point. You read that chapter. We've known Christ after the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. Amen. Look, we're not looking at God after the flesh. We can look at these attributes like they did, and we can weep and we can despair. But look, we're looking at the character of Christ on display in the believer by revelation. Yes, sir. Oh, my. Hallelujah. My, my. He has given you his own righteousness. You couldn't achieve it if you wanted to in a million years. It's not an achievement. There's no achievement behind it. It's his. He's imputed it to you. Oh, my. You can't earn it. And listen, not everybody has that. But you do if you're a believer. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Listen, not everybody can get to that place, but you hath he chosen. He hath chosen you. He chose you as an object, not of his wrath, but of his love and his affection. It is his good pleasure. Whether you like it or not, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to have it more than you want. You say, I want the blessing of God. I want the kingdom of God. He says, I want you to have it more than you want it. I'm the one that put the desire in you for in the first place. My, my. See, so many times we fail to look at ourselves according to the word, and that's why we lose our joy. We look at each other the way somebody else talks about us, somebody at church, somebody at work, somebody our parents or past or family, whatever it is. Amen. We look in the mirror. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me say it this way. When I wake up in the morning and I go to brush my teeth and look in the mirror, Brother Steve, it's not a great source of joy to me. I don't look in the mirror. Some of you all are like, I'm gorgeous. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, maybe for you, amen, but I don't wake up and look in the mirror and say, boy, this is a source of joy for me. I watch the wrinkles. I see all the flaws, amen. That's not a great source of joy to me to look in the mirror. But when I look in the mirror of God's word, it's a different story because I'm seeing the face of the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. My, my. Listen, when I think about what certain people think about me and what certain people have said about me, it's not a particular source of joy to me. Amen. But to know that the very creator of heaven and earth identifies himself as my father, to know that my price is already paid and my debt is settled forever. Listen, if I never do another thing again in my life, if I never preach another sermon, if I never make it out to church again, if I live the rest of my life in quiet obscurity, I'm a son of God and that can never change. Yeah. My. I can't change my relationship with the Lord. It can't be changed because it was predetermined before I was on the earth. Like, he predetermined that I was his son. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let me say this. His predeterminate counsel elected you to joy. You say, well, what do you mean, brother? Listen, if your righteousness come from God and your righteousness never did begin, is that right? Because God is righteous, amen? But listen, God asked Job the question one day, where were you before the foundation of the world, Job? Where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Look, you had joy before there was one star in the sky. You had joy before the sun hung in the air. Before there was a speck of dust, before there was sin, before there was a devil, you had eternal joy. It's an attribute of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. He saw you as having joy, amen. If you had joy in the beginning, you're going to have joy at the end. God didn't see you defeated. He didn't see you downcast. He didn't see you beat up. He didn't see you depressed and bipolar. Before all those things were, you had joy. And he had joy with you before the foundation of the world. Woo, glory to God. I'll tell you what, if that don't light your fire, your wood might be wet. And then you had joy before there was trouble. To try and steal your joy, you had joy. And you're going to have it at the end. And ain't nothing can stop it. Ain't enough devils in hell to stop you from coming to it. My. Listen, before time itself, you had joy. God saw you with a ceaseless joy before all things. And after all things have passed, it'll still be yours. He didn't see you beat up. He saw you, the original predestinated condition tonight is joy. Joy, why? Because that Logos was going to come down and take on flesh and die for you to redeem you as sons and daughters of God. He could buy you to redeem you back to God. You knew the plan then. That's why you had joy. Oh, there was going to be trouble. There was going to be sin. There was going to be problems. But you knew he was going to pay for it. You knew Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Oh, hallelujah now. You are righteous today. Listen, one day, when you stand before the face of God, you don't have to cover your face like an angel. When your life is here, is over, and you're in that city, like we're saying about amen, and there's a new heavens and a new earth, and you're standing before God in a glorified body. A body that is ceaseless, it's eternal, it's never known pain, it's not tempted, it's not sick, it has no heartache. I want you to understand, even in that glorified condition, you are no more righteous than you are right now. Amen. You will be no more righteous than you are right now as a believer. Oh, hallelujah. My. You understand tonight. That's the difference between happiness and joy. Because we often mistake the two. You get some guy in a weak pulpit somewhere who says, well, God wants to make you rich so you can have joy. Well, you might have a lot of money. It might make you happy for a while. It might make you have a lot of trouble too. Hey, man, look. I know one thing. What profit is it to a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? Is that right? Hey, man. A lot of people have their... See, this is the thing. Happiness is based on your condition, but joy is based on your expectation. Amen. Happiness is temporal, but joy, this joy I'm talking about now, look, I'm not talking about something you get at the bar. Amen. I'm not talking something that you get from a psychiatrist somewhere. This joy is eternal. You know where you're going. So they can throw you in prison like Paul and Silas, and you can have joy. Look, you might not be grinning here. Oh, man, I can't wait to go to prison. Man, the IRS is coming after me. Praise God. Look, that don't make me particularly happy, but I know at the end of the road, I know where I'm going. And I know there's joy there because there was joy there before it began. It's based on your... you can have joy in the midst of adversity. You might not have any money, but you can have joy. You might not have any... is that right? I mean, you might have all kinds of trouble. You might be sick in body. You might be distressed and work's falling apart, but you can have joy. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Joy transcends the very boundaries of time and space. Let me say it that way. Amen. You look at your condition today and you can rejoice. You say, what should I rejoice about, brother? I got trouble. Amen. Rejoice. Because a holy, infinite, dreadful, powerful, righteous, and just God would choose you. Brother, look at your calling. How not many noble. Not many wise after the world, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things. Amen. He's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. He chose the weak to confound the mighty, the base, to confound the things that are strong. The things which are despised is what he chose. Listen, the world despises you for the choices you make and the stand you've made. And if you're looking for joy there, you'll never find it. They're not going to accept you if they call the master of the house Beelzebub. What are they going to say about you? And if that's where your joy is at, you'll never find it. Amen. You're despised by the world, but in the sight of God, precious elect. Chosen of God. God is showing that his folly is greater than the wisdom of men. Oh my. He took the inheritance of his dear son that he crucified to a cross. And he freely gave this inheritance to the very worst that humanity has to offer. The very worst of humanity. God says, I'm going to give you this inheritance. To destroy the wise and the mighty, is that right? The noble. Think about that. The publicans and the harlots, they do enter into the kingdom before the self-righteous, is that right? Oh, God has given it to you freely. You that were the worst. Well, that's a couple of us tonight. The very worst. You didn't come from a special family. You didn't come from some special education or background. But God said, you know what? I love you anyhow. Here it is. And then we walk around defeated like beggars. And God's given us everything. What business do we have? Well, praise the Lord. What business we got doing that? Well, huh? Well, I'll preach it myself a little bit. That's all right. Listen, God even wants to answer your prayers. Is that right? He said, ask why? That your joy would be full. Yeah. So if you're living without joy tonight, maybe you need to ask. Say, I just don't have the joy you have. What are you asking for? Well, praise the Lord. You ought to ask him. Look, he wants you to have it. That's why he said he'd answer your prayers. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say something here. I don't know if you know who Paul Washer is. I was listening to something he said. I was studying this. I read something he said the other day. And it really struck me. And I want you to think about this one, because we reason this backwards, amen? We always look at, Brother Branson, we always look at how strong we are and how we are, is that right? But I want you to understand the joy of the Lord is your strength, amen? Is that right? Now, he said, what he said was this, he said, joy comes before obedience. I thought, man, that is so backwards from what I usually think. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to explain now. Slow down. You're all like, there's some false theology there. He said, you always have to put joy before obedience. I thought that was really strange because that defies our normal thinking. But listen, when we elevate obedience above joy, what we've done, listen, you had joy before you had a choice to be obedient. Let me say it that way first, amen. You had joy before there was a right or wrong. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Listen, if we base our joy on our obedience, amen, then your joy comes from your performance. Amen. If obedience comes before your joy, then you'll never find joy because it's always been, well, I don't know what you see in the mirror, but what I see in the mirror, my performance is not a source of joy for me. It used to be. That's why God had to break that down. Amen. I tell you what, God, well, here we go. I wasn't going here tonight, but I tell you what, you get in a place, you first get saved. You're like, man, we're going to do something for God. I'm going to preach. I'm going to witness. I'm going to testify. And that's fine. Hey, that's okay. But you go out there, you got a spring in your step. I'm going to do something for the Lord. And you're on fire and you got some spring in your step. And I'm going to go tear it up. I'm going to do this. Yeah, you're going to do it. And God will let you encounter failures. And God will let people slam doors in your face. And God will let you encounter setback after setback. And he'll break all that out of you. And then he'll work all that out of you till the only reason you've got left to serve God is because you're supposed to serve God. It's no longer, well, I feel good about helping people. God don't want that. He don't want your joy to be that you did something for somebody. Well, I got somebody saved. God don't want your joy based on that. You've made that an idol, amen? God wants your joy to be found in him. And because you have joy, that's why you obey God. See, this is God's achievement, not ours. Listen, Jesus himself, the captain of our salvation, made perfect by obedience through the things that he suffered. Why did he suffer? Why was he obedient? Look, it wasn't because he liked the idea of going on the cross. It wasn't because he liked the idea of being shamed. He despised the shame, but for the joy that was set before him. Listen, that's you. You are that joy. Look, you didn't just have joy before the foundation of the world. You were his joy before the foundation of the world. That's why he did what he did. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When your body don't want to go to church, when you don't feel like praying, but there's a joy on the inside, says, I'm going to serve God anyhow. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Oh my, you're that joy. You and all your sin and your self-pity and your mistakes and your humanity, yet you are the thing he enjoys the most. Man, you would talk about a vice. Amen. If it wasn't for righteousness, that'd be a vice. Amen. You are the thing he enjoys the most. It's all about you and everything he did. He did it for you because he set his affection on you. Oh my. And to know that you are his joy ought to be what give us joy. Amen. Not our performance. Listen, because this is the thing. Like, you make a mistake. Well, I've seen it before. Somebody make a mistake here, or somebody speaks to them this way, and now they stop going to church. Now they lose their prayer life, and now they lose their devotion, because their joy is fixed on their performance. It's fixed on what people are doing. It's fixed on their obedience. Amen? Listen, God is jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I think that's what in the heart of what was in the heart of the Apostle Paul, or any God-called man, when he looks upon the chosen of heaven, the bride of Jesus Christ, to know that God is jealous over you. Not because of what you did. Amen. Brother Bram says this. I haven't read my quote tonight yet. He says this. He says, I can't sit still. Well, praise the Lord. He says, I've got to say something. You can call me what you want to, but I got to let it out. I'm jealous of the church. I don't want her entangled with the world. God forbid that she ever get entangled with the world. Let her stay free if she has to worship. He says, in a tin pan alley. As long as she's free in the spirit, let her alone. She don't need no seminaries and cemeteries or whatever goes with it. What she needs is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a renewing. Amen. We need a renewing. Amen. David said, restore. He said, renew my salvation. Restore the joy of my salvation. He says, the church is losing that. He says, that's too bad, but they're doing it anyhow. And the power of God doesn't shake the church anymore. It's just become so common to them. And they go around and say, well, that's pretty good, huh? And they go on off. My, it ought to drive us to our knees, to repentance. It ought to bring teardrops. It ought to bring salvation and soul winning. The coming of the Lord ought to press us so hard to in every street corner trying to tell somebody, do something about it. He says, it'll be too late to do it after a while. Right. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about that for just a moment. We're talking about David. Because I find a lot of Christians find themselves like David. Amen. The prophet said this. He said, David, he never lost his salvation, but he did lose the joy of it. Amen. He lost the joy of his salvation. And when he did that, he lost his strength. Just like Samson, he lost his strength. Is that right? Amen. Look, he thought he'd find joy in a woman somewhere, just like Bathsheba, just like Samson. Is that right? There is no joy there. Just disappointment and heartache and misery. If we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. It becomes so common to us. We begin looking for joy elsewhere. Amen, somebody. I was talking about praying, asking that your joy before. I was looking in the back. I was just talking to Brother Andrew about it. I was just thinking about this. I used to do this when I was younger, and I had it on a computer, and I broke it. I started doing it again here recently, but I like to keep track of prayers that God answers. Amen. You ever look back? Amen. Sometimes you're just driving along, and you're thinking about something. God answered a prayer. Probably something real big that you were all worried about at the time, and then when it happened, you didn't think nothing of it. You drive along and realize, wow, God did something for me. That's supposed to give you joy. And I've taken to writing it down and recording it, amen, because it's an encouragement to me. Well, I tell you what, when I look at all the times God has answered prayer, when I look at all the miracles God's done, that brings me a great sense of joy. Amen, because I know he hears my prayers. It's not so much the blessing, it's to know that he hears me. It's because my name's written under heaven. That's my joy, amen. And it's an encouragement to me. See, we forget, amen. It becomes common to us. If we don't have a reminder, we stop praying like we used to, because we think, well, there ain't no point in praying. We lose our joy in what we actually have done, we lost our strength. You start looking at church problems, you look at family problems, you look at your own failures, and it's the adversary is trying to rob you of your joy is what it's doing. So what do? We do what the world does. We go and we look for entertainment. We'll go get on a game and a movie. Well, come on, somebody. And we try to satisfy that joy. We think we're going to find it in a bar somewhere. We think we're going to find, well, hallelujah. We do what David and Samson did. We go looking in all the wrong places to fulfill our joy. And what it does, it steals your strength as a believer, and you'll fall into disobedience. Listen, You'll fall into disobedience because you lost your joy. Not the other way around. You've lost your strength. That's why I just can't seem to serve God like your strength is gone. Well, tell you what, you can look at your own life, your experience with others, amen. Look, no one ever left a church because they made a mistake one day. Well, I made a mistake. I stopped going to church. Or because somebody was mean to them. We blame those things, but what it is it took your joy from you. And that's why you stopped going to church. That's why you stopped praying like you used to. We used to pray so long we'd lose track of time. Now we're like, man, I got 5 minutes. Man, that's such a long, I got things to do, amen. See, we no longer, we backslide because somebody mistreated us with that. That's not what it is. You lost your joy. Amen. And we no longer turn to God for consolation. Now we're looking for a substitute. Brother Bram says in the token message, says, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive it. Not a substitute. Something that the devil can place over on you like a phony love to make a man love some other woman besides his wife or a wife some other besides or something here, some dishonorable thing. He says, that's not real love. That's the devil. That's his works. It's something that he's tried to hand you instead of joy to drink and to feel good about it. Well, I got the blues, so I'll go out and get me a quart of liquor and forget about it. That's a death. Amen. He said, God is your joy. God is your strength. Knowing the message, knowing the truth, that's our sufficiency now. He's my all sufficiency. In him, all things I have need of is in him. That's our strength. My help cometh from the Lord. You Christians, look to him for your joy. Look to him for your strength. Look to him for your happiness. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my love. He is my life. That's a covenant, a token upon the door. Amen. That's where we should be going for joy. I work with people. Amen. You ever meet people? Look, I think about that. I was just talking about this today, spending money. You know, you people have so many self-destructive vices in their life. You know, they carry on, they get drunken with drunkenness and destroy their liver. They smoke. They do all these things. Why do they have it doesn't help them. So why do they carry these self-destructive vices in their life? Because we as human beings, we do whatever we enjoy. We're going to do what we enjoy, and they enjoy it. That's why they do it. It don't matter if it's hurting them. Amen. Look, they might not have enough money to pay the bills, but they'll scrounge enough money to buy cigarettes for the week because they enjoy it. That gives them strength. They overcome their debt to buy a cigarette. Amen, somebody. Listen, you might work 80 hours a week, and I'm tired, and I just can't seem to... But if you love rock and roll music, and there's a concert on Saturday, by God, you won't sleep all night to make it to a concert, because you enjoy the music. You'll forfeit sleep, you'll forfeit money. When you really enjoy something, you'll put everything aside, even if it destroys your life, to get it. Well... It's true, amen. Look, if you really enjoy something, you'll find a way. Right. You'll find a way. But listen, when you enjoy the Lord, amen, when the joy of the Lord is your strength, you'll find a way to pray. If they throw you in the lions and if they stick you in a prison, you'll find a way to pray. You'll find a way to read his word. You'll find a way to go to church. You'll find a way to praise God. When you really enjoy it, you say, you know what, if I just got to not eat today, I'll have enough money to buy gas to go to church. Amen. Well, fast never did hurt any of us. Amen. Well, I don't have time for this. I'm just so busy. I'm just too tired to praise God. Yeah, you're tired because you lost your joy. Now you can't even find the strength to lift up your hands. Oh, God, help your people tonight. May we never come here out of a moral obligation or a social convention. May the house of God be a place of joy for us. Look, I don't have to go to some brothel tonight to find joy. I don't have to find it in a needle somewhere or at the bottom of a bottle in a bar somewhere. This is my joy tonight. The salvation that God has given me, the presence of the Holy Ghost, to know He answers my prayer. This is my joy. This is my portion. I don't need no other. Amen. This is mine. Oh, hallelujah. I don't need to go find it some filthy movie or something else or some drug somewhere. Listen, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, it's peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not being downcast and miserable. It's not depression. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. My, my. This is our strength tonight. This is our joy tonight. Amen. If you listen, I'm talking about God's people now because not all you feel that way. You're saying amen, but not all you feel that way. You say, what do you mean, brother? Look, I've been there. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I've been there before. I lost my joy. Say, man, I don't even want her to go to church. Man, I just, amen. Well, praise the Lord. God's people lose their joy. David lost his joy. I'm not just talking about the sinner, I'm talking about us. We're sitting here and your strength is failing even as you sit in a pew tonight. Trying to serve God. You're trying. That's the problem. You're trying. Sinners try. They go and they perform and they do the things they hate. They hate going to church. They hate praising God. But they do it because out of it, they feel like I need to do this to be righteous. And they do the very things they hate that they don't want to do out of an obligation. Look, don't try to serve God out of an obligation. Well, I have to obey God. Look, this is my joy. I want to do it. I want to do something for God. I love God. I want to praise Him. I want to pray. I don't have to. Well, praise the Lord. It's like I talk about prayer. Well, we don't pray enough. I was talking about that years ago. I had somebody preaching that. We don't pray enough. We don't pray enough. Look, if I have to make you pray, that don't count. Look, God knows whether you got joy. Well, the preacher said I need to pray more. We don't pray enough. What's enough? What was enough for David when he faced Goliath? Brother Bram said David didn't pray through. David was already prayed through. God prayed him through before the foundation of the world. Look, I'm not telling you not to pray. I'm saying don't pray for the wrong reason. Amen. Don't go to God and be like, oh, God. Well, shut up. God don't want to hear your whimpering any more than I do. But you can come before God tonight and say, God, when I was in the pit of despair, when I made my bed in hell, you were there. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet up on a rock. No matter where I go, His goodness and His mercy, when I wasn't looking, when I wasn't praying, when I wasn't obeying God, they followed me every day of my life. Oh, glory. The sinner, they perform and they do the very things they hate and they've got no joy in it. They think it's righteousness, but it's death. It's death to them. And the death knell has sounded over their own life because they rejected the grace of God to change the inner man. Amen. Amen. And like I said, if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing as a Christian. And it'll steal our experience, it'll steal our joy. Before you know it, you're a dried up church member. And you're looking back, I remember when God used to do this. I remember when God used to do that. I remember the joy I used to have. I remember when I used to. What happened? Amen. Where's your joy? Where's thy strength, Samson? You just gave up your secret. Brother Bram says this. He said, you had a real experience. Man, a real experience. Your heart was on fire right after you received the Holy Spirit in your life and your soul was a burning, but somehow you got away from it. It never got away from you, but you got away from it. David said one day, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He had not lost his salvation, but the joy of it. When it comes to a place that I can't enjoy my religion, my salvation, there's something wrong somewhere. Because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen, if you're a Christian, you've ever had a real experience, I don't have to convince you what I'm talking about tonight. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Man, I don't have to articulate for you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's exactly how you know it's missing. I don't have to convince you. You know exactly where you're at. When I lost my joy, and I thought about when I said, I know exactly where I'm at. I've done lost my joy. I know exactly where. Look, I didn't need you to. Hey, well, no. Oh, brother, you lost your joy. No, I'm all right. No, I knew you. Yeah, you got me. Red-handed. Amen. I'd be the first. Amen. That's right. I done lost my joy. Amen. Look, He never left me. I done left it. Look, if it's in you, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's in you. Is that, it's sealed in there. The devil says you lost your joy. It's there somewhere. It's there. Don't let the devil lie to you. You can have it back. It's still there. Look, the devil didn't give it to you. If you're a Christian, the devil didn't give you your joy. He sure can't take it away. Amen. You left it somewhere. You know what it is. You know what I'm saying is true. What happened? You used to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Holiness used to be a joy and a privilege, not a burden. Amen. Prayer used to be a privilege, not a burden. Listen, I'm saying this tonight for the same reason the desert said it. I'm not here to multiply your sorrow. If you feel defeated, you feel bound like they did, I'm not here to make it worse. I'm here to tell you God still restores. The same God that restored Jerusalem, that restored the Word, is the same God that can restore your joy tonight. Amen. I'm not telling you this for you to despair. I'm telling you, you can have your joy back tonight. You don't have to wait till next week. You don't have to go down and sign up for it somewhere. You can have it right now because you had it before the foundation of the world. It belongs to you and none other. Listen, they done lost the joy. They done lost the joy of their salvation. Is that right? We do that. And here's the problem. We think we're alone. We're looking around church. Man, everybody's getting blessed but me. I done lost my joy. Nobody else. Listen, they were not alone. They were all in the same boat. You might feel that way tonight. You're not alone. I bet you. Praise the Lord. We think there's something wrong with us compared to everybody else. That's not what it is. Amen. No, in fact, everything's right between you and God. There's nothing wrong except you left it. Amen. Now, this is why I say this. If we're honest, like I said, you know all about it. You're going to find there's other human beings, sons and daughters of God, just like you tonight. They know what it's like to lose that joy. Now, listen, I'm not saying that tonight some sort of a lofty platitude so you feel like I'm trying to be humble or something. I've been there before. I've let my performance dictate my joy, and that's why I lost it. I've let how people treat me dictate my joy. I've let things in church dictate my joy, and that's why I lost it, amen. But look, I left it, amen. It never left me because those things never gave me joy. That wasn't where my joy came from. That's not my source, amen. Hey, man, I had to go. Well, praise the Lord. You play games, you do this, you do that. Look, I'm all about I understand letting off the pressure and this and that, amen. It's one thing when we're letting off the pressure, but we take things in the world, we try to escape. We think that's going to bring us joy, amen. There's no escape. Not there. There's only one way of escape. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. We get caught up in everything else. And I testify to you right now, if you don't believe me, which I'm sure you will, but that thing will never satisfy you. You can spend hour after hour. You can give yourself to it. You can throw yourself into whatever. It'll never satisfy you. But let me testify to you something else tonight. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. If you can believe, you can walk out tonight with joy. Because God don't have to go make it up in a factory in heaven somewhere. It's already here. He's already here. It's joy unspeakable. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Brother Bram says the Holy Spirit's here. He says, if you've fallen weak, you're lukewarm, you're experienced, and you'd like to be renewed again. He said, David said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He'd not lost his salvation, but he lost all his joy. And then he says this. Now, you think you're all alone tonight. He says, I think that goes to about 95% of the church today. Losing the joy of their salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. I tell you what, after a quote like that, this altar ought not to be empty tonight. 95% of the church. Losing the joy of their salvation. Well, I hope you're that lucky one. But if not, you can be that lucky one. 95%, amen. Look, you know where you're at tonight. Brother Bram says this. I'm getting ready to close. Same sermon here. He says, now to you people that wanted to renew the joy of your salvation, that somewhere you've lost joy, think back what you did. Did you neglect prayer meeting? Neglect reading the Bible? Neglected praying at your home? Asking the blessing at the table? Don't never do that. Oh my, that's so unbecoming to Christians. No matter where you are, bow your head and pray. Don't be ashamed of him. Pray anywhere, see? Amen. And the point he's making is that we left it somewhere. Go back. You know where you lost it at. You can remember. Look, if you can remember when you had it, then you can remember when you lost it. He said, this happened, this happened. This person treated me this way. And I went through this situation. I went through this adversity. I watched my joy leave. Go back. You can go back there tonight by faith. Amen. Right. Say, God, that joy I had. You know what? My computer the other day got messed up. I had to do one of these factory restores. I lost everything. But it went back to its original condition. It's nice I had all this room on my hard drive all of a sudden. Amen. Listen, I carry a lot of things in the world. Amen. But I got a factory restore. I didn't bring nothing with me. I went back to my original setting. Amen. Listen, I had joy there. Is that right? If you've got some virus on your hard drive tonight, you got something going on, something's in your drawer, you can have a reset tonight. Say, I remember there was a certain date, a date you can restore back to where I lost my joy. I'm going to factory restore that day. Listen, God had that going on way thousands of years ago. Amen. He don't need a Hewlett Packard or a Dell. Amen. You can go back to the place you... Well, but brother, you don't know what I've been through. God knows.
Yes, He does.
Amen. God knows exactly where you left. You said, I don't even remember anymore. It's been so long. Ought not to be that way. You might have been like Israel in captivity for 70 years. I don't know if there's anybody here that old tonight. You might have been 70 years in despair. Amen. But you can go back tonight.
Amen.
95% of the church. Let's stand to our feet, church. Guilty of losing our joy. Listen, he don't come in like we look. He just come a little bit of a time, amen. He'll take your joy. You pray a little less, and you go to church a little less. You do this, amen. He likes to come and take a little bit of a time, amen. But look, you can have it all back at once. You don't even take it back one step at a time. You take it all back tonight, amen. Bow our heads here for a moment. Maybe you're guilty tonight. I don't want to say guilty. Forgive me. That's not how I want to say it. Maybe you found yourself in that condition tonight. Knowing what God has done for you, knowing the power of God and the joy of God and what He's done for you. And despite all of His blessings, we've let things take that joy from us. Brothers and sisters, He wants you to have it tonight. That's why I'm preaching this tonight. He wants you to have that joy. That's the strength that you need to be obedient, to overcome. Amen. You're not going to find it in just some sort of a mimicking of religion, amen. That joy is what will cause you to hold on and serve God when the world's falling apart around you, amen. With our heads bowed, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your loving kindness, I can testify as David tonight. Your loving kindness is more than life to us. Lord, who am I on earth beside thee, or whom in heaven but thee, O God? Lord, you've been everything to us. Everything that we've been disappointed with in the world. Friends and family and a boss, whatever it be. You've been those things to us. And you do all things well. You've never failed us. You've never forsaken us. You've never left us. You've never taken the joy from us, O God. But we've let things get in our way. We find ourselves in the majority with the church losing the joy of their salvation. Oh God, tonight. I know what it's like to be there. That's the most miserable thing to be in. I can't think of anything more miserable than a joyless salvation. Oh God, what it ought to do to us tonight. How we ought to flee to the altar and cling to the horns of the altar. God, help me get my joy back. If I get nothing else in this life, if I get no riches, if I get no acclaim, if I get no friends or family or anything else ever again, God, let me have joy. I can't go on without it. It's my strength. God, I believe you called your people tonight as Ezra has called. Through you called through the mouth of Ezra. You've called for the people to have joy. This day is holy unto the Lord. This people's holy unto the Lord. We ought to have joy. It ought to be the very power that drives us. The joy of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. Not the joy and the fleeting happiness of this world. It's disappointing us day after day, time after time, and we run right back to it. Oh, but let us run back to you tonight. Oh, once more, Lord, restore to us, I pray, the joy of our salvation. May there be great rejoicing. May there be a great time of deliverance for your people tonight. Lord, I know you can do it. I can testify. There's still joy. Joy like when I first got saved. Oh, it was sweeter than the honey in the comb. Oh, what a time. What a time it was. What a time it is tonight to be a Christian. Bless these people tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. praise the Lamb. My heart sings. God bless you all tonight. There's people who are getting their joy back tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Oh, he's worthy tonight, isn't he? Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Don't let the devil keep you from your joy tonight. What belongs to you. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Do you want of him tonight? Just lift it up to him now. Receive that everlasting portion.
Come and
oh, hallelujah.
Oh, this thirsting of my soul. This thirsting of my soul.
us. To you now. Don't be in a hurry tonight. You know, when I was in the world, I could have stayed up till 5 in the morning sinning. You can make a little time now. Don't be in a hurry now. Just let him have his way. There's joy there tonight. Amen. It's all right to praise him. It's okay to praise him tonight. Amen. It's okay to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my joy. Thank you for my peace. Thank you. You've done everything for me, God. Oh, the Holy Spirit is here tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I feel like praising God tonight. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep, sweep. Sweep over my soul. My rest is complete. My sin has your feet.
sweep over my soul. Yes, Lord, hallelujah.
Thankful for what God's done for you tonight. Not because I asked you from the bottom of your heart. You say, God, I want to be one of them ones that's got my joy. I want to serve God with joy from the bottom of my heart. I believe that's our desire, but that can be more than a desire tonight. That can be a reality in our lives. We don't have to just talk about joy or just make it like it's some sort of a sermon. It can be a reality tonight. Amen. Oh my.
Yes.
Give me a key of, we're going to sing, is we sing another song tonight? Is that all right?
Amen.
Give me a key of G. G's always safe, isn't it? Oh wait, maybe that's not good. I'm going to sing When the Saints Go Marching In. What key do you sing that in? Whoa, what is that? Whatever that is, we're singing, amen? We have a good time tonight in the Lord, is that all right? Well, I'm a man, a stranger. Oh, I'm wandering through this world. Go marching in. Oh, I know. now, yeah. Sing it. Oh, and the saints. Oh, and the saints.
Go marching in.
Go marching in.
Oh, and the
saints. Go marching in. Lord, I know. I know to be in that number. Oh, and the saints.
Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, it's worthy to praise in the night.
I know it was the blood. Oh,